tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 27th of February, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we have a special guest with us today who was not here for his podcast this week, but he is here for the Daily Nationalist on Friday, and that is Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How did you enjoy your week off this week? Did you have fun?
Oh, I've had so much fun, Sven. It's I tell you, I'm suffering because we are here in the U.S. We're in the midterms. It's an election season. It's an election year. And so, of course, you know, I don't participate in this farce, but the ads on TV, you know, they're running all these ads, and to watch this this theater on these commercials when I'm just sitting there with it on mute so I can see the weather. And it's so funny because here in Texas, for instance, the Republicans are they're running all these ads and they're just making up issues. You know, and one of the things they're pushing here, all these politicians running, is, you know, Joe America, you know. They're pushing this thing. They want to pass a thing here in Texas, and these politicians, Republicans, are bragging about supporting this. Is a statute to the Texas state constitution banning Sharia law. Joe America, he's against Sharia law in Texas. Like, there's nobody pushing for Sharia law in Texas. That's hilarious. You know, there is no movement for Sharia law in Texas, but all these guys are trying to run on, you know, he's against Sharia law in Texas. Like, okay. You know, like who's pushing for that though? It's not at all. It's just laughable because it's just a made up thing. Some marketing firm said, hey, you can't run on the economy. You can't run on being against corruption. So run on being against Sharia law in Texas, but there's no Sharia law. Yeah, that doesn't matter. We're just going to say there is. The people will believe it. It's just amazing the amount of slop that you get during election season. I can't wait till they're done having their stupid election so I don't have to see it anymore. But yeah, the amount of slop they subject us to. Meanwhile, by the way, for some background, in the state of Texas, there is a law on the books that you can't work for the state as a contractor or anything else if you don't support Israel. So, that, yeah, but Sharia law, we're worried about that. But speaking of slop, as bad as it is, I still think we fail to measure up to the UK. So, man, you're still winning, if you want to call that winning. And I think today's article that you got for us may be a decent example of that.
Well, it's certainly a safe subject, or they think it's a safe subject. It's criticizing Russia. It's criticizing the Palestinians, making them look bad, making Belarus look bad. But it's about immigration. And so it's a little bit not joined up, basically. It gives you a bit of cognitive dissonance because it's portraying immigration in a negative sense. And of course, we're constantly being told that migration is such a wonderful thing, all the diversity that it brings, the vibrancy, the wonderful food, all these doctors and engineers and space rocket men that are coming over from France. But when it's Russia that are pushing the migrants our way, then suddenly they become a threat to us. And I think this is the first time I've ever heard UK government people or the mainstream media referring to migrants as a threat. I mean, that seems very, very hostile to me. They don't like it when we refer to them as a threat, but if they're coming in from Russia, then they're a threat. This article comes from GB News, and its headline is Russia using secret underground tunnels to flood the West with migrants as it ramps up hybrid war efforts. So they're even using this term, flooding the West with migrants, which they tell us we shouldn't use. Russia is sending migrants through underground tunnels into Europe as part of its ongoing hybrid conflict with the West. Belarus, a Russian puppet state led by dictator Alexander Lukashenko, has used specialists from the Middle East with a, quote, high level of expertise to design the tunnels, Polish officials claim. Now, where would they get experts from the Middle East with a high level of expertise in tunnels? I would guess that they'd have to be Palestinian. So what they're really implying here is that the Palestinians, the enemy, because we're supposed to be supporting Israel, they've teamed up with Alexander Lukashenko over there in Belarus to help him flood the West with migrants, which are seen here as pretty much being missiles, biological missiles. It seems very, very hostile to these migrants compared to what we are used to. And Grandpa, what do you make of this? Would you say this is likely to be the Palestinians that they're referring to building tunnels for Lucky Lukashenko?
This is just, we were talking before the show, before we started recording, and just kind of share with everybody. Sven and I were talking about AI, and I was telling Sven, I said, you know, if you have a real job doing things, AI is not going to replace you. But people like this that turn out this sort of slop, journalists are going to be replaced by AI, because an AI could do a better job at this and make it more convincing than this slop. This is so laughably bad. They're digging tunnels. Okay, this is where we're supposed to believe right off the bat. Okay, the dictator. I always love the adjectives they use. You know, the dictator, Lukashenko. You know, never mind that he's very popular and they have elections, but he's a dictator. They're digging tunnels to sneak migrants into the West, when at the same time, you know, the British Royal Navy goes and picks these people up and brings them in. I mean, they quote unquote rescue these people. They bring all these people in, but somehow Russia and Belarus are digging secret tunnels to smuggle them in. This is so laughably silly because they're flooding in. I'm assuming, I mean, there's not a direct link to the UK from Russia. They're coming over, I believe, primarily from France. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But somehow it's Russia. You know, that is hilarious to me. So, yeah, no, the whole tunnel thing is, and yes, the insinuation. So when I read that, I thought to myself, so now we can add Russia and Belarus to the list of Hamas, but Russia and Belarus are Hamas. We can add that to the list, and it's a long list. UN aid workers are Hamas. Reporters are Hamas. Doctors, Hamas. Hospitals, Hamas, because remember, the hospitals also had the tunnels under them. You know, I'm not sure at this point, it's going to be easier to make a list of who isn't Hamas, which is basically going to be Israel, and everybody else who is Hamas. In fact, I think Greta Thunberg was Hamas too at some point. So yeah, Russia and Belarus, Russia and Belarus are Hamas as well, building secret tunnels, because otherwise, if there weren't these secret tunnels, that y'all wouldn't have any migrants at all. Like, you're supposed to live in a vacuum where you don't even know what your government's policies are. And I did, in this article I read through, I skimmed through some of the comments at the bottom, and there were quite a few comments that were like, yeah, no, Russia and Belarus don't have anything to do with the government's policies that have been in place for decades that bring all of these people in. So they're churning out this slop, and I don't really think anybody's buying it, or at least I should hope not.
Well, I don't really understand what the use of tunnels would be for anyway. I mean, it's landlocked, Belarus is. It's got a land border, surely, that could just push people through the woods and send them in the general direction of Poland or Lithuania or whatever country that they're joined up with. Estonia. I'm sure they don't actually need tunnels. They're not sort of boring underneath the mountain to make a secret tunnel for these migrants to get through. They're just literally pushing them through the woods. Perhaps the tunnel is just sort of holding up the fence so that they can get underneath. Well, the Great Escape-style tactic marks a new escalation in the Kremlin's hybrid war on Europe, in which Minsk has tried to send tens of thousands of migrants across Poland's eastern frontier. Polish officials said the specialists who designed and dug the tunnels had a, quote, high level of expertise, the Telegraph reports. So they're saying tens of thousands of migrants are coming across Poland. Well, I believe we've got something like 40,000 a year come to Britain through France. So tens of thousands of migrants. I mean, it's really not that many, is it? 10 or 12,000 coming across Poland, not compared to the 40,000 that we have over here in Britain every year. A Bulgarian minister claimed Russian security services are helping the migrants enter Britain and other European countries illegally. Yes, as if the British government and the EU governments aren't doing that at all. Daniel Mitov, Bulgaria's interior minister, said illegal migration inflows are an instrument for hostile regimes to destabilize the European Union and the United Kingdom. But when we say that, we get accused of hate speech when we say that these migrants that come in across the channel are there to destabilize the country and to divide the country so that people can't unite against the establishment. When we point that out, well, that's hate speech. But he's been quite open here that it's a hostile intent to be sending these migrants over. It's hostile. It needs repelling. They're referring to them as a threat. And of course, you're not allowed to say anything insulting, abusive or threatening about migrants. Yet apparently this is quite okay because the migrants are coming over from Russia. Have you got any thoughts here on this quote, Grandpa, that you want to let us know?
Well, it's a typical thing. If you listen to pathological liars long enough, they always contradict themselves. And the liars aren't very smart. At least not anymore. Which is it? If diversity is your society's strength and is going to make everything better, which is what they've been telling everybody, but now all of a sudden it's a weapon to destabilize your society. Both things can't be true at the same time. So they've been telling everybody for decades, at least, that diversity is your strength and it's going to make everything better. Hell, Merkel said they were going to pay all the Germans' pensions. But now they just flip the script and say it's destabilizing and you should be, very concerned. They did everything in this article except refer to the migrants as biological weapons. And like you said, somehow they get away with it. It's kind of like how you also have to like from this. They quote these people here, a Bulgarian minister claimed. Now, if you or I were making a claim and it made it in a news story, we know what would be right after that. Claimed without evidence. Without evidence. They claim without evidence. Where's the evidence? Some Bulgarian minister said, and they're not even telling us the. I mean, it's just without evidence. Where's the evidence? He's just claiming it. But hey, it's not like these people would lie to us, but it's worth pointing out what I don't understand, and maybe you can enlighten me. The UK and Europe, but the UK has really been at the forefront of a lot of this anti-Russia. There's no other way to look at it except agitating for war. And I read enough articles and information on the state of the British military, and I'm thinking. Some people overhype Russia's military capabilities, but I mean, when you look at the laughable state of the UK military, I don't understand why Britain is basically so hyped for war with Russia, because you're going to get your ass kicked. I'm not an analytical expert. I'm not claiming to be an expert, but just from reading basic data and looking at the state and the numbers alone, the UK doesn't stand a chance of any sort of actual war with Russia. Now, maybe they think it would be them plus Western Europe, but that doesn't really make things any better. I find it mind-boggling that you would agitate for a war that you have no chance of winning. I mean, it's it's utter insanity. It's kind of like when these made up countries, you know, the Baltics, like you mentioned, like Lithuania, Estonia, you know, there's probably, I refer to them as make believe countries because they only exist because none of, you know, the bigger powers don't even care about them. And they're always like the loudest talking crap. You know, I think Estonia a while back was saying they should preemptively themselves attack Russia. It's like, yeah, go ahead. How's that going to work for you? Maybe some of this is a part of this NATO illusion, and the NATO illusion that especially the Baltics have, but overall Europe and to an extent the UK, they have this illusion that NATO means that if a war gets started, the United States is going to come fight it. And I'm going to tell you, that's not going to happen. All you have to do is look at the U.S.'s track record on honoring treaties. If Russia rolled into Lithuania tomorrow and kicked it over, the United States is not going to go fight a war with Russia for Lithuania or Estonia or any of these make-believe countries. In fact, Article 5 basically says they have to lend support. It doesn't say anything specifically about they're going to go fight the war. And yet all these people have this mindset like America will come fight for them. And just to break it down and make it simple, and I'm not going to belabor the point and hog airtime here, but if the U.S. has a choice to defend all of Europe and the U.K. and fight a major war with Russia or dedicate its resources go serve Israel in the Middle East, it's not even close. Anybody with any common sense knows who's going to win that toss-up. And so maybe that's where it comes from. But it just amazes me that the UK and a lot of these other countries are literally agitating for war. And it's a war they can't win.
Yes, but the point is the UK wouldn't actually fight that war. It doesn't agitate for war between Britain and Russia. It just agitates for more war between Ukraine and Russia. Britain just gets other people to fight against its enemies rather than fighting against Russia ourselves. Getting back to the article here, they are aiming to destabilize the welfare systems. Plus, of course, through smuggling radicalized individuals, they create security issues for us. Mr. Mitov also claimed that some non-governmental organizations in Europe could be unknowingly aiding Russia and the smuggling gangs. Well, these NGOs, I really don't think they care who it is that's sending the migrants over, just so long as they can bring more migrants into the country. I mean, they should be done for people smuggling. They're the ones that are the threat to the country, are these migrant NGOs that go out to Calais and places like that and give the migrants their information on how to break into Britain and how to claim benefits and what to say for an appeal and what they're likely to get accepted for as a refugee, and they provide all this advice to them. They're literally aiding the people smugglers if they're not doing the people smuggling themselves. Of course, there are ships that were going over to Libya and then bringing the migrants across and wanting to put them in Italy or wanting to put them in Lampedusa. And there was a court case against some of these vessels, and I believe they dropped the court case in the end. I think it was Matteo Salvini was trying to go after them, saying, well, look, you know, these people smugglers, it's the NGOs that are doing this. So I think it's quite bizarre that this Mr. Mitov says, oh, these NGOs might be unknowingly aiding Russia, as if they would care about aiding Russia. All they care about is bringing in as many migrants as possible into the country because they think it's a wonderful thing. They think they're doing a good thing. They think that they are assuaging their guilt. And then you've got the Jewish advocacy groups that are involved, and they think they're doing a good thing because it means that the Jews don't stand out so much and their ethnic solidarity doesn't stand out so much. So they benefit from multicultural countries. So you have this group that are invested in bringing in as many migrants as possible. And the idea that they might be aiding Russia by doing so, I really don't think that they care about that at all. And this other bit about destabilizing the welfare systems, smuggling in radicalized individuals. I mean, these are all the things that we talk about. Of course, we also point out that they're also far more likely to sexually assault and rape women and children. That doesn't get mentioned here, just the welfare systems and the radicalized individuals. And of course, we get told that, oh, yes, but we have people that abuse the welfare system here anyway, or we have people that are radicalized here anyway. Well, why add to them? Why bring in even more of this problem if it's not ours to have to deal with in the first place? What do you reckon to what Mr. Mitov has to say here, Grandpa, about NGOs?
Well, these people don't believe in any of the stuff they tell you they believe in. They're basically, as you've pointed out here, they're making essentially nationalist talking points. They're making talk. This guy's using talking points that have landed people in prison in certain countries, but it's okay when they do it. So it just tells you they don't believe any of the stuff they claim to believe. Like, you know, how the migrants are going to be great for the economy and boy, the diversity is going to really make us so strong. They don't believe any of this stuff. The NGO thing, this tells me, in my opinion, that it's so widespread known, so widely known, the roles that these NGOs are playing, that they felt obligated to include it in the story. Otherwise, they'd have left it out. And yeah, they give them this kind of, well, they're well-meaning, but they just unknowingly might be doing something counterproductive. And you notice they don't name any of the NGOs. They just leave it vague that some non-governmental organizations, well, particularly which ones? Who runs it? Name them off. It's not like it's a secret. Name off. I mean, if they're doing it, you're not going to be slandering them. Just say these are the ones doing it. And I'm betting none of them have ties to Russia. But I like the way they frame it as they mean do well, but they may be unknowingly helping Russia. This is they felt obligated to include the NGOs because the article would be completely laughable if they just left them out while going on about Russia. But yeah, the fact that this guy is basically making nationalist talking points that could land you in jail. And yet, you know, here he is saying these things. And next week he'll be back to talking about how, you know, you've got to embrace these people and they're just as native to your country as people born there. You know, they don't believe any of this. It's all just a power play. It's all just a psyop. It's all mental manipulation. And like I said, I think fewer and fewer people are falling for it, which is, you know, something, you know, silver lining, I think, to take out of it.
Well, the thing with these NGOs, non-governmental organizations, they're not non-governmental, are they? They're ways for the government to achieve what the government wants to achieve without it being directly linked to the government. I mean, if it was just any organization that isn't by the government, you could say, well, Patriotic Alternative are a non-governmental organization. Well, of course, they aren't. Because what non-governmental organization actually means is that it does have some connection to the government. It likely gets money from them under the disguise of being a charity. Well, the minister had more things to say here as well. The minister told the Times they are neo-Marxist groups which are trying to justify their actions through philosophical or ideological constructs. Basically, let's get all the poor people from the world and let them establish themselves here. The absolute freedom of movement, the non-existence of borders, and so on and so forth. So unfortunately, we do have challenges with such non-governmental organizations, which maybe unwittingly take part in the operations of those hostile states and the criminal networks which smuggle people illegally into the territory of the EU and the UK. So perhaps there's a way we could make use of this. Perhaps we could propagandize this and say that these migrants that are making their way into Britain, that they've actually been forced into Europe by the Russians. And it's because we're against Russia that we're actually against these migrants. But I doubt whether the powers that be would actually accept that. I do like the way here that he points out that they are neo-Marxist groups, cultural Marxists, basically, trying to justify their actions through philosophy, as I was pointing out earlier, through white guilt a lot of the time, or just through this hatred of white people. There are a lot of self-hating whites about that have been propagandized into carrying out actions which are harmful for the group. Any thoughts on what he has to say here about these neo-Marxist groups, Grandpa?
No, it's just worth pointing out the apologetic and the excusing tone that's used here, you know, neo-Marxist groups. And then it's basically like, but it's not really their fault, you know. And you just contrast that with, you know, nationalist groups. You know, they never they never get, like you said, patriotic alternative. You know, they never get this apologetic tone, like, well, they mean well, but, you know, they could be misguided. So I do think it's kind of worth pointing out the apologetic tone they use when it comes to talking about these quote unquote neo-Marxist groups, you know, versus the tone they use when the story is talking about any sort of patriotic or nationalist group, how it's always demonized. You know, they would be these, they get neo-Marxist and an apologetic tone, where a nationalist group is going to get neo-Nazi and anything but an apologetic, you know, framework for anything they're advocating. They're never going to say, well, they mean well and they really like traditionalist values, you know, but they're just, you know, misguided on some of the terminology they use. No, it's always framed in given a framework of condemnation and evil, inherent evil. So, yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, but it is worth pointing out.
We have a quote here from the Foreign Secretary as well, who used to be the Home Secretary. And before that, she was responsible for getting Red Ice kicked off of YouTube. I can remember her complaining about how YouTube was showing out all of these nationalist streams and the algorithm must be broken. And why is it showing all these horrible, vile, white supremacist streams? Well, it only shows you what you've been looking for in the first place. If she hadn't been looking for that content in the first place and watching it, it wouldn't have shown it to her. Anyway, she was responsible for getting Red Ice banned, effectively for being anti-migration. Her name's Yvette Cooper. She said, "It is clear that illegal migration into Europe and beyond is being driven not just by organized crime networks seeking to make a profit, but by hostile state actors seeking to destabilize Europe." Well, why don't you do something about it then, Yvette? She says, "That threat is real, growing and very serious. And I have made it clear that we need to expand and strengthen our international cooperation to tackle it together." What she means there is Britain needs to rejoin the EU. That's what she means by that. And then there would be no borders whatsoever, and we would be flooded with even more migrants. She says, "We will therefore continue to support Bulgaria and our other NATO allies in securing Europe's external frontiers and tackling every different type of threat that we face from the Putin regime, including providing the specialist equipment, intelligence and training that will help our Bulgarian counterparts to defend their borders and disrupt these criminal operations." Well, how about they provide some specialist equipment for the British Navy and the military and some special training so that they can stop the migrants from coming across the channel into Britain, let alone going out to Bulgaria and helping the Bulgarians to do this? I think it's more important that they do things at home before they start helping out people in Bulgaria. Grandpa, any thoughts on this? Have you heard of Yvette Cooper before?
No, yeah. Another one of your insufferable British, but they're all insufferable. All the democracy countries have insufferable officials, politicians, etc. This is just blatant dodging of accountability. It's the Russians' fault now. You know, as you said, why didn't she know anything? You have all of these people, they're in power. You always have to love the way these politicians and these government officials, who supposedly it's their job to handle these things, and they never do anything about it. But it's always somebody else's fault. And they're always talking about, oh, we're going to, you know, I pointed to that. And as I've said before, I'm not an expert on UK politic dynamics, but I do understand enough to see where things go. It's always worth pointing out that the Labour Party is not in power because people woke up one day and decided they really liked them. It's just that the Tory voters finally said there's no point in electing these people because they never do anything they say they're going to do in the first place. And they just quit showing up to the polls. And that is the future, I think, for all of these democracy countries. And this sort of slop that we're reading here is evidence that they're getting more desperate, flailing about trying to keep people buying into the system. Because the Tory voters are checking out. Keir Starmer's approval ratings are so abysmal. I don't know how the government's still there. I mean, I think I don't know you can answer this, but I think his approval ratings are probably worse than Rishi Sunak's were, and his government dissolved. So how are they still in power? And I think the answer to that is if they hold an election, no one's going to show up. You know, the Labour voters aren't going to show up. the Tory voters have already checked out. So where does that leave the system? That how do they continue to claim any sort of legitimacy? You know, so yeah, they're just, this is just more dodging accountability. They act like they're just helpless victims. There's nothing they can do. You supposedly have the mighty British Navy, which is ready. They're ready to go to war with Russia if this needs be, but they can't stop migrant boats from, you know, coming up and dropping these people on their shore. They know they're coming. That, you know, come on now. You know, everyone can see what this is, but it doesn't stop them from still trying to go on and just keep on BSing the general public, thinking they'll buy into it.
I think that was one of the things that Putin said, wasn't it? That if Britain wants to go to war against Russia, all Russia has to do is turn up in some inflatable boats and they would be welcomed in by the Navy. Well, Belarus, a close ally of Russia, has played a central role in steering migrants towards the European Union with state-controlled travel agencies offering them visas and transport. Once at the border, Belarusian security forces escort the migrants towards Polish territory while blocking their retreat. The practice, known as instrumentalized migration, sits within the grey zone of modern conflict. Hostile actions designed to harm an adversary while staying just below the threshold of open warfare. So they're saying that this is warfare. Sending migrants into Europe is just below the threshold of open warfare. I mean, they really are describing these migrants in quite hostile terms, I would say. And it's perfectly fine to do that because it's Russia that is doing this. I mean, what is the difference between migrants coming into France that have made their way through Europe or migrants that are coming into Bulgaria or Poland that have made their way through Belarus? The only difference is where they've actually come from. And yet we see completely different terms of language that are actually being used by people like Yvette Cooper here. And just where you were referring there, Grandpa, about Keir Starmer and what would happen if there was an election. Well, there was a by-election yesterday and the Labour Party completely tanked. And the Green Party won. And the Green Party are the most furthest to the left that you can actually get. I think Reform came second. I think the Green Party may have won by something like 8,000 votes. But what they did, the ethnic minorities came out and voted for them because the lady that won the election, she's white, she's blonde, and she's clearly a feminist. She says she's a plumber, but I think what she's done is a plumbing course. She also says she's a plasterer, and I think what she's done is a plasterer's course, because when you see her holding the bucket with the slop in it, she's not particularly good with what she's actually doing with it. But the way that she appealed to the migrants was to not even campaign in English. All her campaigns were done in Urdu and Punjabi, because they're Bangladeshi and Pakistani migrants that actually live in that area. And because she campaigned in Urdu and Punjabi or Bangladeshi, whatever it is, and she said, talked about Palestine and how they were supportive of Palestine and anti-Israel, every one of these migrants came out to vote. 100% of ethnic minorities came out to vote, and they all voted for ethnic minorities, basically. They voted for the Green Party. And the Labour Party just completely crashed. I mean, it's a really clear example of how these ethnic groups within our country, they will vote in the interests of their ethnic group, whilst white people are still confused about ideological differences between Labour, the Conservatives, and Reform. And of course, white people should be supporting Restore, but Keir Starmer completely crashed out. And he's going to be forced to have more elections in May. He tried to get all these elections banned. The government said, we're not going to allow any elections. And they made up some ridiculous excuse. And then the elections ombudsman or the elections overseer said, no, you can't actually do that. You are actually going to have these elections. So we will have other elections in May. So we will see what happens. I guess they're similar to the midterms over there, Grandpa. I've gone a little bit off topic here. You got any comments on Belarus here and the story that we're talking about, or any more comments on British elections?
Well, I think it is a symptom, though. What you're talking about is a symptom, because it would be considered a few years ago, it would be considered a more of a fringe party. So it makes sense that as support for the system is collapsing, the parties that used to not be able to get any traction suddenly are getting traction, because that's just they have a smaller percentage of the population, but a more radically dedicated percentage of supporters. I think it's symptomatic of the system is becoming more and more unstable and failing. Yeah, back to the story, though. As you mentioned before, they come up with this convoluted narrative about Russia and Belarus doing all these things to get migrants into Europe. And as you mentioned, meanwhile, the oh-so-innocent NGOs literally will go to the foreign countries. They're passing out leaflets of how to come and where to show up, picking these people up and literally bringing them there by boat, and no one's stopping them. Now, you compare that to this convoluted narrative about digging tunnels and all of the rest of it. What makes more sense? You know, where are the migrants coming from? You know, the boats that are just sailing over, picking up boatloads of them and bringing them and dropping them off, and the government welcomes in, starts stamping them in, or the Russians building tunnels to smuggle them into Europe like they're biological weapons or something. It's just laughably bad propaganda. That's why I say AI could do a better job of that. Now, this other thing they bring up is just pure projection, talking about a gray zone where, you know, they're trying to stay just below, they're pushing the limits, but just staying below the threshold of open warfare. That's projection, because the UK in particular, when it comes to the Ukraine and Russia, is very much pushing that limit to the point that I believe even the US is like, hey, y'all need to back off on that a little bit. They're providing all of the support. They are directly involved, but just trying to maintain that veneer, that little bit of deniability, you know, claiming that, oh, we're not directly involved, but they obviously are. So that part there really struck me is just pure projection. They're the ones that are trying to push everything, push this envelope without actually just pushing that line, without actually crossing that threshold. And, you know, that would be not excusable, but at least some kind of excusable if the people doing it were competent. You would say, well, I think it's a really bad idea to push this line of conflict with Russia, especially if conflict breaks out and you have zero chance of winning. But at least if the people doing it were somewhat competent, you could say, well, I think they know what they're doing and they won't push it too far. It's obvious that these people are stupid. I mean, they are really, really dumb. They didn't get these positions because of their high level of intelligence. So, yeah, you have really incompetent people pushing a line that could go really, really sideways, really, really bad in ways that people don't foresee. So, yeah, it is something to be concerned about, because the UK has no chance in a war with Russia without using nuclear weapons. And once you pop the cork on that bottle, you're not going to put it back in. You're going to put the genie back in the bottle, as they say.
Well, Ukraine's really got no chance against Russia either, because Russia's got nuclear weapons. And just thinking about this article here, I mean, why would the migrants need to dig tunnels under the mountain to get into Fortress Europe when they could just literally just walk across the border? And that's the whole point of the Schengen zone in Europe, is there aren't any borders. You can just walk across. You don't need to dig tunnels. Starting in 2021, Belarus, acting as Russia's proxy, relaxed entry rules for migrants from the Middle East and Africa, channeling them towards the borders of Poland and other NATO states, the goal being to send starving and desperate migrants towards NATO, and if they are pushed back, attack NATO for being intolerant to migrants. If they were accepted, social tensions in NATO countries increase, with either outcome serving Russia's aims to divide Europe, distract NATO, and weaken Western unity. So they are accepting that the migrants cause social tensions in our countries. So why do they allow it? Why do they keep putting them up in hotels? Why do they keep rolling out the red carpet for them? They know that it causes social tensions. That's the reason why they do it, because they know that it divides society. It prevents the ethnic group, the central majority ethnic group, from uniting together against the regime. That's why they do it, because they know that the ethnic group will then be split up into people that want to help the migrants, people that don't want to help the migrants. And they know that it will just cause chaos, and it will prevent us from uniting to actually try and put things right and actually try to sort out our country and fix the problems that we have. The other side of it is of course the banking side of it. The more people that the banks can load up into the country, the more money that ends up having to be created, the more money that's created, the more interest there is on that money, because it's all created as debt. And essentially there's more for the banks to use, but there's also more liquidity. It means that there's more funds in circulation for people to find the interest to actually pay back on the debts. This whole horrible system that we have all goes back to usury, basically, which is a sin crying out to heaven. It's not something we're supposed to allow in our countries. But the end result of that is the mass migration. And what we see from that is that there are two ways to describe it. If they're coming in from France, they're poor migrants that need to be helped and put up in hotels. And if they're coming in from Poland or Bulgaria, then they're essentially biological weapons that are being pushed in to wage war against us from the hostile Russia. So it is quite interesting, these two different ways that the migrants are talked about. Grandpa, any final thoughts on this article that we've been talking about today?
It would be really humorous, but not worth the risk. So we just have to talk about it in the hypothetical. But it would be really humorous for a UK-based podcaster, such as yourself, but any other UK-based podcaster, to sit down and do a show and basically, without using the article, but just take the talking points given by the media here and government officials and just go on a let-loose tirade podcast using these talking points, these exact talking points, and see what happens. Because we know what would happen. That's why I say it's not worth the risk. So it's just in the hypothetical. But we know what would happen. Just use these talking points. Heck, you could use the quotes. Just don't attribute them. Just pretend like that's what you came up with on your own. And just go on a screed about the migrants and use these very same talking points and see what happens. I can tell you, you'd be getting a visit from the Barbies. They'd be knocking on your door. Oh, I believe you do something, putting out some hatred. Some radicalized hatred on the social medias, aren't you? You just go on the Facebook and make these points and see what happens. You're going to get a knock on the door about your social media post. It's kind of a meme now, isn't it? About the British police showing up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You got this Facebook post, mate. It's a little bit problematic. And it'd be like, oh, well, let me show you the material I got this from. Of course, it wouldn't matter. They would just ignore it. But it just shows, again, it's all fake. The entire system fake. They don't believe anything they say. They just say whatever they think they need to say to make the point. They're saying the things they're saying now in this context with an obvious negative connotation towards the migrants, because in the narrow framework of this article, they're using it to demonize Russia. But if you come out tomorrow and do a show making these exact same points, maybe leave the Russia part out, then you could go to jail, because in that context, they don't want that, which tells us overall they don't believe any of it. Don't believe the words of pathological liars ever. Have no faith in the system. It's working as designed. It's just not designed to do what they're telling you it's designed to do. Just, good stuff, Sven. I don't know. I don't know who's in better shape, but I think overall in the entire world, the UK is the most cooked. I've taken a poll just from people's opinions on the internet, from reading comments. And I think the overall consensus is the UK. The UK has no future.
Well, we might have a future with Rupert Lowe. I just want to add here at the end as well that Rupert Lowe's Restore Party, they've said that they will repatriate anybody that doesn't speak English. Also, that foreigners will not be allowed to vote in elections. Foreigners will not be allowed to be a part of the government. So, and they're not going to provide any translation services whatsoever. So this stunt that the Green Party pulled of sending out all their informational literature in Urdu, they would probably be put in jail for that. And the ethnic minorities would not be allowed to vote anyway. So I do support Rupert Lowe. He is saying a hell of a lot of sensible things, but he has not yet registered his party. So we will wait to see whether he can get his party past the Electoral Commission. But as you can see on the Radio Albion site, I am quite openly supporting Rupert Lowe and the Restore Britain Party, and I recommend people do join them. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.